right, so we are continuing our series, Lord, Teach Us How to Pray, which we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And in particular, we are going to be looking at Matthew 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's that last phrase, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we'll be focusing on. I said it at the start of the service, but if you have any questions that you would like answered on prayer, for sure, feel free to submit those questions. You can put them in the contact card. You can email me. You can Facebook us. There's a couple of really good questions out there. I might do a poll, but the last sermon series at the end of February will answer one of the questions that's presented from you guys. So if you have any, you're more than willing to share those. So we'll just read through the prayer once again as it's found in Matthew 6. And if you can follow along with us in your Bibles or on your electronic devices, that'd be great. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. On April 10, 1912, the Titanic made its maiden voyage. It was one of the most opulent structures of its day. Its owners, its designers, and magazines around the world claimed that it was the unsinkable ship. It was full of huge onboard swimming pools, gymnasiums, baths, a library, everything you could want. And they thought that this beast of a ship had no chance of sinking. But as history will tell you, on April 14th, 4 days later, it hit an iceberg off the coast of Newfoundland. And this unsinkable ship actually sank. It's a tragic story. And matter of fact, sometimes as you look at it, maybe you've seen the movie, you hear that people's own, their thinking that this ship was going to be unsinkable made them not respond to the pleas for help. They thought that there's no way that this thing could go down. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read stories of Titanic, I can be a little bit judgmental. I'm a former engineer, and I know that the machinery that I designed was not unbreakable or unsinkable or unstoppable. I can judge them and think, how could you think that something that you build is so indestructible and going to run smoothly without any problems? But you know, the reality is if I look at my own life, the reality is I build my own ship. I build a ship of my own identity, my work, my family. And sometimes I can have that same attitude that those designers had about the Titanic about it. I can think that my life will smooth sailing, that things will go completely the way that I expect. I can think that I can manipulate things and make things happen so that I have this perfect and comfortable life. But I too can hit icebergs. There can be things that can happen in my life that challenge it and make me realize how temporary and how vulnerable my life really is. Well, today we are looking at the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this prayer request is really a request. God, help us. Help us to realize that our lives need your help and need your guidance more than what we think. And so this is really what we're going to be looking at. Now, like the concept of kingdom of God last week, God's will is a term that's often used differently by different people. If you want a term that can be used and have so many different connotations to it, this is one of those biblical words. And so before we look at the practical implications of this prayer in our life, we need to unpack exactly how it is that the Bible talks about it. And what we realize is that the Bible talks about God's will in three different ways. If you have your sermon outlines in front of you, you'll see that the first one and the first way that the Bible talks about it is God's sovereign will. And what that means is that God is completely in control of the world. Everything that happens is part of his plan. And he either causes it to happen or gives permission. God can't do evil things, but he can give permission for those things to happen. And so for every moment in history. And we see this taught in passages like Ephesians 1, verse 11. In him we were all also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. You hear that idea? Also, we see it in Isaiah 14, verses 26 through 27. This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all nations. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart it? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? And so there's this concept that God is in control of the universe, that he has a will that guides it and a plan. Now, there's some mysteries involved in the way that this happens. The Bible teaches us that God's will trumps ours and that he's in control and that he works through it, but there's a mystery of how all that works out. It feels like we make our own decisions, doesn't it? It feels like we have this role, and so there's a mystery there in how it all plays out. But what we read in Scripture is that God's will trumps even whatever freedom or will we may have, and that his plan, his sovereign will, is above everything. We see this in Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And in the story of Joseph, we hear how God can use even evil things that people do for his good. You know, Joseph is facing his brothers after his father had died, and they are afraid that he's finally going to get his revenge. I mean, they are the first domino of a downward spiral of his life. They're the first iceberg that his life's ship hits. And he's traded into slavery, and from there it goes down. And so they have right to be fearful, but Joseph says these powerful words to them. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? What you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. And so there's this big idea that no matter what happens, good and bad in our lives, that somehow God can use it because it's part of his sovereign will. So when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we need to think that maybe this is one of the wills that God, that Jesus has in mind. But there's another kind of will, God's preceptive will. Now, I don't have a huge vocabulary. I don't claim to be that. I'm an engineer, not an English major. And so the word precept isn't exactly a word that I use a lot. I had to look it up in the dictionary to think about that again. I mean, it's a theological term that I've learned and that I use, but preceptive will is something, it's a command or a principle intended especially as a general rule of action. It's an order issued by a legally constituted authority to a subordinate official. And so when we think of that, we say this is the will of God. This is how he wants us to live. Now, when I hear commands or principles, the thought that comes to my mind, because I know my Old Testament, is the Ten Commandments. You know, this thing that we battle over sometimes about what role it should place in our life. But there's these Ten Commandments in the Old Testament that God repeated twice of the way that we should live. And so sometimes we can think, well, I need to live in God's preceptive will, which is his commandments. But the reality is that Jesus broadened that. When Jesus came to earth, he told us that a new life that isn't just about external ways or external things that we do, but it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of living life full of love rather than bitterness or hatred. It's a life of forgiveness rather than holding and harboring feelings against someone. You know, this is the life that he calls us to. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the kingdom life that we talked about last week. But Jesus says that if we are followers of Christ, then our job is to do this preceptive will. He says in John 14, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And so the preceptive will of God isn't just the Ten Commandments. It's a heart issue. It's a different way of living. It's the kingdom living. And that can be confusing. So the best thing for us to realize is if we want to know what this preceptive will is, well, Jesus embodies it. I love Hebrews 10, verse 7, when it says, I have come to do your will, O God. So if you want to know what God's preceptive will is, just learn about Jesus. Now, the best example I have, or just illustration of what the preceptive will really is, would be the rules or the conditions that a father or mother has in their house. Maybe your household was different, but in the Voss house when I was growing up, there were certain expectations. Rules like, no work, no play. Right? You don't eat your food, you don't get dessert. I mean, there was expectations for behavior. I find myself with my three-year-old daughter saying that all the time. Annika, I love you too much to let you act that way. I'm going to have to discipline you. And sometimes I say things like, we don't act that way in the Voss household, right? That's my preceptive will. That's the way, the expectations that I have for things. And so this is the will of God. This is the way that he wants us to live. This is the life that he's called us to. Now, it's important to note that we don't always do it. I don't know about you, but I, as a teenager, as a kid, didn't always follow my father's way, and my daughter doesn't always follow my will, and we don't always follow God's will either. And so when we think of thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we need to think also of this preceptive will on top of God's sovereign will. But there's a third way of talking about God, that the Bible talks about God's will, and that is his disposition or inclination. And this is what is pleasing or displeasing to him. There's things that 2 Peter says that the Lord is slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Or Psalm 103, 8 through 12, which is a passage that's actually repeated throughout Scripture. It says that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor be harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or pay us according to our iniquities. You see, this is the general disposition or inclination of God. One of them, Kyle also talks about God's wrath, but these are the things that we need to take into account. Now, things never change. This is general. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can see that God's disposition or his inclination doesn't change. And so this is another form of God's will. It still begs the question, though, doesn't it? When we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which one of these three wills is God really referring to? Well, the reality is Jesus might have all three in mind. The term that he uses is a little bit ambiguous. I think we'd all agree that the world would be a better place, don't you, if our disposition was more of loving kindness and love of God, where we would have hate evil and love righteousness like God's general disposition is. But I think what God and what Jesus has more in mind in this passage is the idea of God's sovereign will and his preceptive will. And when we pray, thy will be done and thy on earth as it is in heaven, and think of God's his sovereign will, a couple of things come to our mind, doesn't it? It's really a plea for us to help trust him. I don't know about you, but I have certain things where I have a hard time trusting God. Certain events can happen into my life, and I need to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I need God to show me what his sovereign will is, to give me the strength that I need to endure it. When I was in high school and early college, I was a lifeguard. That's one of the ways that I made my money. It was a summer job that I did. And I'll never forget these two kids that I taught private swimming lessons to, Jim and Phil. You couldn't have more opposite people. Jim was a third or fourth grade. I taught him 2 years, so I forget exactly when he started. But Jim, at fourth grade, was about as big as I was as a high schooler. I mean, he's just one of these giants, you know? I mean, big farm kid and huge. Phil was the scrawny little guy who had hardly anything to him, and they took private swimming lessons from me together. They were best friends. Now, my niche as a swimming lesson instructor was to teach kids who were afraid of the water or afraid of the deep end to swim. And Jim and Phil were definitely in that. They were young boys and wanted to jump off the diving board because that's the coolest thing you can do when you're a young boy, but they couldn't swim in that area. And so one of the tricks that I would do as a lifeguard would be to let them jump off the board and I would catch them, because there's something exciting about getting that thrill that will help you get over the fear of swimming when you can't touch. Well, Phil and Jim decided that they were going to get up on the board. Phil went first. Got up to the edge and jumped right off, and I caught him and threw him. I could basically shot put him to the side. You know, I mean, he was that scrawny of a kid. And Jim got up, and he climbed up the ladder and got to the edge of the board and just froze. He had the thrill of wanting to jump off the board, but he was scared because he wasn't really sure if he could trust me. I mean, And so I sat there treading water with my hands up in the air saying, Jim, I'll catch you, I'll catch you. And we had this debate for about 5 minutes. He said, I'll catch you. Look, I just caught Phil. But Phil's half my size. There's no way you're going to catch me. Jim, I've caught people bigger than you. It's okay, I'll catch you. And he had this debate, and he had this internal debate that's going on. And he sat there. He did jump off. I did get him to the side. He panicked enough that, honestly, it scared me a little bit because he grabbed such tight of me, and he was such a big kid, but we managed. And he actually learned how to swim that summer and be able to jump off the board. But sometimes when we're in those difficult situations of life where we have the icebergs, where we wonder what's going to happen to us, we have those moments, don't we? We wonder, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why I'm sick. I don't know why I don't have a job. I don't know what my future holds. And so when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're asking God, God, show me that I can trust you. Show me that you have a plan. Show me that you are in control, even though it doesn't feel like it. And that's really what thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is. It's a chance for us to say, God, show us your will. Show us that you're in control. Show us that sovereign will. And give us the strength and the energy and the hope and the peace that we need to trust you. I don't know about you, but I have many icebergs in my life that I can call that hit me, that my life ship can hit, that I need to pray that prayer. God, thy sovereign will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, it doesn't always have to be bad things that put us on the edge of that board where we question God's will, does it? Maybe we want to be proactive and we have major decisions. Maybe we're a high schooler and we wonder, who should I date? Who should I marry? Who should I spend the rest of my life with? We can have relationship questions. We can think about what job should I take or what career path should I do? We can ask questions like, what's my next phase of life? How do my wife and I interact now that we're empty nesters or whatever the case may be? What hobbies should I pursue or what investments should I make? Just those normal everyday questions that can weigh us down and wonder. And we need to know what, we want to know what God's will is, don't we? We want to know what his plan is, and we can kind of feel like we're out there, and can we trust him, or what can we do? And so in those circumstances as well, we want a general guidance. And so we ask, God, show us thy will on earth as it is in heaven so we can make smart and wise decisions. So when we think of God's sovereign will, those are the two aspects that we can think of, the practical implications of this prayer. God, show us that we can trust you. Show us in those life, hard life circumstances that you're worthy of trusting us and that you're in control and that you'll catch us, even if it's painful and discomforting. And also, God, show us what your will is. Show us what it is. You know, Jesus embodied this idea of asking God for his will and trusting and submitting to it, his sovereign will, perfectly in the garden. Kyle talked about it in our confession reading. But Jesus is the prime example of facing a really difficult situation and praying that God, that his will would be something different than what it is. You see it in Mark and you see it also in Matthew, where two times he says to God, if it's possible, take this cup from me. He asked God, look, there's difficult situations in life. And so when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's okay for us to ask God, this is a difficult challenge and I need your help. I need you to take this away from me if possible. But Jesus also has this mindset that it's not about his will, it's about God's will. And he submits to it that we see clearly in these yellow. He says, everything is possible for you, so take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will. And see it again, once more he went away and prayed the same thing. And so when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we can ask God to change circumstances. We can ask him to work those miracles. We can ask him and pray boldly for those things. But we got to trust, ultimately, that he has a plan, that he is the sovereign God. And even if we face difficult situations and may not always understand it, that we need to trust it. And we need to trust him and that he's trustworthy. When we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's really should be the attitude of our heart. God, help us to trust you. Give us the peace. May your spirit equip us with everything we need to endure. But, you know, Jesus also, and I think probably has more of the preceptive will of God in mind when he wants us to pray this prayer. That idea of the life that we're supposed to live with that in mind. Thomas Watson, an English Puritan, said about this petition, it's a request for two things. One, that we will be able to do diligently all that God commands, and that we will be able to submit patiently to all he inflicts. You know, even when we face difficult times, we should be praying, God, help us to live perceptively like you want us to do. Help me to deal with this challenge with peace and patience and kindness and live out the way that you've called us to live. Help me to do that. Help me to do that. So when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're asking God that he would change our hearts, that he would help us become the people that he's created us to be. You know, sometimes when we think of the perceptive will, when we think of the Ten Commandments, when we think of the will life that Jesus outlines in the Sermon on the Mount, we can think of life as being really constricting, can't we? I mean, it's all don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. But the Bible teaches us that actually the life that God calls us to, this preceptive will of him, he actually has our best interest in mind. Matthew 9 says, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me, but whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There's a truth to that, isn't there? That the more that we're willing to live in God's preceptive will, the more that we're willing to live in a life of love rather than bitterness and anger, a life of hope rather than pessimism and doubt, it's more fulfilling for us. I love how John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and live it to the full. Some translations will use the abundant life, and sometimes that can be a health and wealth gospel text. It doesn't mean that life's going to go perfectly, as we've seen from these other texts, but it does mean that when we live in the will of God, that we live a life of hope rather than hatred, a life of love and forgiveness rather than bitterness and anger, that our life will be more fulfilling. And this is really the perceptive life. This is what we ask, God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, I don't know about you, but I don't always lay down my life. I don't always live the life to the full. And I need to pray this life in my prayer in my life. Lord, I need you to help me to love my wife the way that you want me to love. I need you to help me be the dad that you want me to be and live the life that you've called me to live, the will of God. I have sins that I need to work on, and I can be impatient, I can be unkind, I can be bitter. And so I need to pray this prayer. God, thy will be done. Thy preceptive will be done. Help me to live the life that you've called me to live on earth as it is in heaven. But you know, there's a corporate component to this prayer as well, especially that preceptive will. After all, as we looked at, 4 weeks ago now, the opening verse of this prayer is our Father in heaven. Our reminds us of our relationship with Jesus, but also reminds us that corporately we're called to live this preceptive life. I don't know if you've heard about it. I'd never heard of this town until I found was doing some research for the sermon, but there's a town in France called Le Chabon. And the French, unlike other areas of the Netherlands and Belgium especially, where they did a lot of work with the resistance, the French towns weren't as well known to hide the Jews and to do some of that work. There's pockets of it, and this was one of them. And so a researcher went to this town after World War II was over and tried to figure out what is it that made Le Chabon different than all these other villages around it. And what they found is that these people weren't heroes. They weren't smart or discerning. It's not that they weren't, you know, smart, but it wasn't like they were smarter than everybody else. They weren't more courageous. They had real doubts and real fears. But the one factor that united them was that actually Sunday after Sunday at their little church, their pastor was faithful, and he preached and reminded them what their will was, that God's will was for them to do. It was this perceptive will of God. He reminded them of what Christ had done and how that empowers them and softens their heart to make changes in their life. And so they realized that this corporate perceptive will was to help those in need. One old woman, I love this line, who faked her heart attack when the Nazis came to search her home and actually saved many Jews who were hiding there because of it, said it as bluntly this way. The pastor always taught us how to be obedient to Jesus. This little town was radically different, and this researcher saw something different in them because of that. Jesus had impacted their life. They understood what the perceptive will of God was, and it had a huge impact on the community around them. Lives were changed. The reality is the ultimate goal of our passage, isn't it? To be obedient to Jesus, to mirror Jesus. When we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that's really what we're asking God to do individually and corporately, that we can live that life out. I love a quote by Glenn Stossen in his book, Living the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this about praying the will of God. When you pray that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, envision conflict being resolved, marriages and families healed, truth told, and people faithful to one another. Initiatives that break through the vicious cycle of retaliation and love that creates a new community among people through forgiveness, reconciliation, and peacemaking. That's the goal of us when we pray, "Thy will be done." That's the goal of us individually, but also corporately as Crossway Church. How powerful would it be as we grow that the people in our community would be like that researcher, where they would see that we live differently, that we have people in their 70s hanging out with people in their 20s, we people who are so in touch with technology to those that aren't, those that are married, single, divorced, all coming together with a heart for their community and a heart for one another because of one thing, because of what Jesus has done. You see, when we pray, "Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven," we're asking that God do that, not just individually, but corporately. That He give us a vision for the things that He wants us to do so that we can reveal His presence, His kingdom, and hallow His name, the things that we've prayed for before, just practically here on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited to think about how people could see Christ through us and through me. But I also know that I don't always live that out. So I don't know about you, but I need to keep on praying, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We're going to end our sermon by actually praying that like we have been every week. And I just want to remind you again that if you would like a handout to help you think about the different ways that you can incorporate this into your life, we have a week's worth of handouts, 5 short little lessons talking about "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and also about how you can pray for very specific things throughout the week. We'll also put it online if you prefer that. So our closing prayer today is actually going to be completely focused on "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I encourage you to just focus on the words and to pray it along with me. Heavenly Father, today we want to state again that Your will is better than ours or mine. It really is true that the Father knows best. Even though we don't know all what Your will is for us today, we embrace it. However Your will becomes clear to us, we want to give ourselves fully to it. Make Your will known to us. Let us know what Your heart and Your desires are in the different settings we will be in today, and give us the grace to accomplish them. Help us to remember the specific statements of Your will from Your word. Help us to walk in humility before through. Please help us to rejoice in all circumstances. Give us the opportunity to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And let all that we do today move toward the goal of seeing more people become genuine disciples of Jesus. Let us imitate You. Please live Your life through us. Father in heaven, may Your will, Your good purpose, and perfect pleasures be done on earth as it is heaven, through each of us individually and corporately via Crossway Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as we face different situations that may challenge us, as we hit the icebergs in our life, that we can trust that Your sovereign will is at work And we pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that you give us the strength that we need to trust and to obey. Lord, when we face situations that we need guidance, Lord, we pray that we seek your will. Lord, we pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, when we wonder how we should live, when we wonder what the goal of our life is, Lord, I pray that you just show us each and every day what your preceptive will is, that you show us what this new life is, what the kingdom life is like, and help us to live that out. Help us to pray in our lives today, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.